As others have said, we're delighted to see you here tonight. Appreciate the presence of visitors, and our special circumstances this evening mean that all that we're doing in this segment of our service is a little bit briefer, but hopefully just as edifying. You know, I suspect there would be people in this building tonight who would know how many days it is until your next birthday. I bet every five-year-old in this building could tell you exactly how many days their next birthday is. And those of us who are in our 60s have not gotten over the last one, so we can't imagine that the next one that comes around is going to be here as quickly as it is. How long is this sermon going to last tonight? I bet somebody's already got a stopwatch on me to see how brief I can make the remarks that I'm making this evening. How many days until you graduate from high school? How many days until you get your driver's license? Surely there's somebody here that's got that date marked on a calendar and marking off each date as they get toward it. How many days until you're able to retire, walk away from the job that you're presently doing and have time on your own? How many days do you have left to live? Now we're getting serious, aren't we? If you were to know how many days you have left, if for some way or the other, some reason or the other, you were able to know the exact date of your death in the future, even the year, if you should know that, maybe that would be difficult for some of us to handle as we think about the clock ticking down. Countdown clocks, you've seen them, haven't you? They make me nervous. Whenever I see one, sometimes we'll put one on the screen here, and that's all right. But I tell you, I'm always getting antsy as it gets closer and closer to the end, and I'm thinking to myself, what's going to happen now? What happens when we strike zero and then we get into the negative numbers? And I surely don't know what to do with negative time, do you? Well, we're talking tonight about a countdown, and I'm hoping that these countdowns we've spoken of will help you to think of the fact that sometimes countdowns do put us under some pressure. Sometimes they might even frighten us into paralysis, where we're just not able to do anything because we're so agitated by it. There's yet another big countdown still to come, and that's the return of the Lord. And we don't know what day that's going to be. We have absolutely no indication in Scripture or from any other reliable source as to the date on the calendar when that's going to occur. But there is a date for it, and it is known only to God Himself. Even Jesus is totally unaware of when that day is, and He said that no man knows but His Father in heaven, who I suppose will tell Jesus the day that it's time for Him to make that return. You know, we know when the next Sunday coming up will be. We know this is the final Lord's Day of February 2022. We know the dates of weddings. We know the dates of graduations. We know the dates of all sorts of things that are out there in the future. We can even understand, looking backwards at the Lord's resurrection that occurred almost, by the way, 2,000 years ago. But this day, the return of the Lord, no one knows that. Might be in our lifetime. Might not be in our lifetime. It might be soon. It may be far away. It's just not something that we're able really to predict, is it? In the book of Revelation, chapter 22 and verse 20, there's a very interesting statement made at the close of the New Testament. And in that text, he who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming quickly." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Now, those words were written 2,000 years ago, probably about the year 96 A.D., the Lord made this declaration that I am coming quickly. And of course, Peter said that there are some people who think that the Lord has forgotten all about that promise, and that the Lord is slack concerning His promises, and that He is not going to fulfill this promise that He has made. In the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 23, there's this statement. Paul says of Christians that we ourselves groan within ourselves. We are waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. He's talking about a countdown there. He's talking about a time in the future where our bodies will be redeemed, where we will finally finalize this adoption as the sons of God. And we're groaning within ourselves, anticipating that future event. Things are certainly going to change when the Lord appears. The world has never seen anything like this. The world has never experienced life coming to a halt. The world has never seen what it's like when life on this earth is finalized. Those who are living when the Lord returns will be changed instantly, the Bible tells us. We may be living and breathing and doing as we do right now at this very moment, but should the Lord return, the Bible says that instantaneously we will not be in this body any longer. That we will not be what we are at this present moment, but that we will be changed. And then when the Lord comes, the dead in Christ will be raised first, followed by the resurrection, of course, of all of the dead. And this will bring about the destruction of planet Earth. And nobody has ever witnessed anything like this. Jesus coming in the clouds with all of his angels with him. Let me give you three quick thoughts as we conclude our remarks tonight. First of all, when that happens, those things I've just mentioned, there is absolutely nothing else that's going to matter except Jesus at that moment. Every concern, every appointment, every obligation, every responsibility that you may have had in this life is not going to matter at all anymore. You won't be concerned that you forgot to get the mail out of the box this morning or yesterday as mail was delivered to your house. It won't matter whether or not you've left that pot on the stove. It won't matter that you've mislaid your cell phone somewhere. I doubt anybody's going to be taking selfies when the Lord returns. Do you imagine that we'll all gather around a phone and grin real big and do the crazy things that people do when they're at a park or they're at a ball game or wherever? Oh, the Lord's coming, and we are taking selfies to be sending out to everybody around us. Where are my shoes? I don't think you'll be worried about your shoes. I don't think your car keys are going to matter if they've been misplaced. You won't need your wallet. Your purse won't matter. A dozen other things that we consider to be important items will not be important at all when Jesus comes. All that will be important will be Jesus and our faith in him. And those of us who had our faith in him will have our faith and our hope realized at that moment. And how happy we will be to see the Lord, because we've always believed this will happen and now it's happening. I can just imagine tears of joy that would be streaming down our cheeks. But there will be some terrified at the return of the Lord, because they will realize we didn't believe. We thought this was never going to happen. This is not something we planned for at all. Some might even try to hide, but that's not going to work. Some may want to run, but there's not going to be any place to which they can run. If you're a Christian, you're going to remember all those sermons you listened to, and you're going to remember all of those Bible classes you studied, and you're going to remember all of those hymns that you sang and all of those prayers that you prayed, because at this moment, it's all about the Lord. And it's all about whether or not we have served him faithfully in our lives. Here's the second of 3 points. And that is, there will be some things that just won't get done when Jesus comes. You know, imagine that tomorrow morning Jesus arrives. Imagine the clouds rolling back. Imagine that the Lord appears with the angels. Imagine that that happens during rush hour on 290 or on Loop 610 or anywhere else in this big city of which we are citizens and a part. I've got some things I'm expecting in the mail this week. I've got some deliveries that Amazon is supposed to make. Do you think I need to say, wait, just a minute. I got to get that stuff off the front porch. That's got to come in. Somebody might pick that up and run off with it if I don't get it in the house just as soon as it hits the brick. There's some people that are planning to get married this summer, and you won't be getting married this summer if the Lord should return. All those plans that you've made, just poof, they're gone. That calendar is absolutely meaningless now. Everything will be gone except you and your faith. Those doctor visits you've got scheduled, forget them. Those lab tests you've got to take, they don't matter. That report you've got due at work, that school project you've been working on, that team you've been practicing with for that big championship game, those tickets for those programs that you bought months ago, and you've been waiting and waiting and waiting for the arrival of that concert or whatever it is, none of those things are going to happen now. And it won't make any difference. It's amazing how our lives are always structured around being at a certain place at a certain time. Do you live your life that way? You've every day got to be at a certain place at a certain time, and you got to stay there a certain amount of time. And then when you get through with that, you've got to be somewhere else because somebody there will be expecting you to do whatever it is that you're going to do. Some books that you're reading just won't get read. Some sermons I've got planned will never, ever be written or preached. Some funerals will never, ever take place. There are funerals that are being planned this week, and they will not occur if the Lord were to return tomorrow. Everything stops. Everything ends. Everything is over. And that's what happens if Jesus were to come tonight, or if Jesus should come in the morning. And thirdly, when we read those two verses, and especially that one that I mentioned to you out of Revelation 22, there's a sense of expectation in those verses. It worries me sometimes that we might not have the same disposition that John the Apostle had when he wrote those words in the book of Revelation. Come, Lord Jesus, he said. He expected it not only to happen, but it seems to me like he wanted it to happen. He was desirous of this thing coming to pass. It's a prayer. It's a plea. It's a longing. Come, Jesus. Come, Jesus. Now, some people, when they read that, they say, well, no wonder John felt that way. They were under intense persecution, and they wanted that persecution to stop. Sure, I'm certain they did. And their circumstance may have been a tad different in that regard than our own. But others just see this as a reference to the final coming of Jesus, whether we're speaking of a present distress or persecution or not. Come so we can be together. Come so Satan can finally be sent where he belongs. Come to make everything right. Come and let us enter into the eternal fellowship that we want with you. The voice of Revelation is wanting and longing for the Lord to come now. If not now, come soon, but come. That's what those early Christians were reminded of. That's how the New Testament comes to a close. Now, I ask this question as I close. Can you say those words? Is that something that you can truthfully from your heart say? Come, Lord Jesus. Come soon. Come right now. But come. Don't forget about us. Children in certain African nations years ago would sing this little song, Kumbaya. You might have got to sing that at some camp you attended as a kid. Did you know what Kumbaya meant? It meant come by here. Certain children thought that they lived in such remote areas that the Lord might forget about them. Don't forget that we're way out here in the back of nowhere. We're over here in a place where we have to have sunshine piped into us. That's how far back we are. The Lord's not going to forget any area, not a square inch of planet Earth and where people may be living. Do you want the Lord to come? Do you want the Lord to come now? Come and let us be done with this old world. Come and let us be through with temptation. Come and let us never be bothered again by the traffic. Never be bothered again by the bugs. Never be bothered again by summer heat. Never be bothered again by Satan. Come and let us enjoy the greatest blessings of all, heaven. Come and let us be reunited with the godly for all time. Come. There's nothing at all holding us here. So come. That's the hope. That's the aspiration. That's the disposition of every child of God. A divine countdown. When is it going to take place? When is Jesus going to come? We don't know, but God has reserved that information to himself So that means we live each day as if it could be our last day. We need to live our lives that way. We ought to live as if one foot of ours is already in heaven, and we're just waiting on the other one to be brought in so that we can be there totally and completely. We need to live as if we're ready. We need to live as if we're anticipating. We need to live as if we are ready and expecting that the Lord will return. Don't do anything before thinking about the fact that the Lord might return before I get back to this task or before I get to do those things I've planned. The Lord is going to return. The clock is ticking a countdown, and we need to be ready. I'm speaking to someone tonight who needs to obey the gospel. You need to come, and you need to say, I believe that Jesus is returning, and I want to be saved eternally by him. If you'll repent of sins and confess your faith in Jesus as the Christ, we'll be happy to baptize you tonight. And as a result of that, you'll have a hope, and you'll have a reason to not fear the return of the Lord when everybody around you would just be terrified at that prospect. We hope we can help you while together we stand, while we sing.